and welcome to episode 120 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where small press comics make a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mask from Mars, and joining me this week are the creator of the kick-ass superhero webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And the greatest interviewer since Parkinson, Mr. Tony Esmonds.
Oh, God. Some went all right. Some of them went all right.
I've yet to hear any of these, so I'm really looking forward to this show.
I have to say, we did try and put Vince off during one.
Right.
Standard.
Yeah. As some of you folks will know, this is a show where we're going to have some audio clips about from Nottingham, and you may even get one from New York.
Ooh.
Now, obviously, we've tried to interview a few people. It is a bit challenging on the day, isn't it? Sometimes to try and find the right time.
Try and speak to you in the middle of it and stuff, don't they?
Yeah.
And when you're trying to interview people, and everyone else is trying to put you off, which only happens to me.
I don't know why it's you.
Yeah.
But literally at one point, there was literally about 10 people in your... You were interviewing... I don't think it's any secret. You were interviewing Rachel.
Yeah.
And over her shoulder, there was like 10 of us making faces, writing signs. I think at one point, Susie Gander just moonwalked past.
Yeah. There was a sign that said something like, Vince has hepatitis as... Something like that. Yeah. If you're a new listener to the show, I'm the one that gets bullied.
But Vince has hepatitis.
I don't, Dan.
It was funny though. It was funny.
I could laugh, you kept
it together very well. I've got to tell you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. People, actually, I think I might mention it. It might be in the audio. I can't remember.
Okay. Well, I haven't listened to that bit yet.
So we're going to be talking about conventions this week. But before we get on about that, we've got to say a big thank you to our lovely sponsors, as always, Comic House. I had the issues on my table at Nottingham, and lovely issues they are as well. But they're the guys that they help keep the lights on, keep us chugging onwards to give you episodes for free. But they're kicking ass in the name of pushing the envelope of what independent publishing can achieve. Now, independent creators can upload their comics to Comic House, and I think it's 50-50 or something. They do well, I think.
Yeah, I got an email with all the screenshots of how it looks this week.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, because not only is there a massive database full of like great comics, like the featured ones, you've got Alan Henderson's Penguin, issue 0.
Yeah, more about him in a minute.
Yeah, awesome. You've got issue 3 of Brethren Born. You've got Alex Automatic is now on there now. So there's loads of stuff on there. So if you go to comichouse.com, you can see for yourself the vast database. But not only that, they're putting out an app for like independent comics, which is basically like Netflix, really, like almost a streaming service for comics for just a small, I think, £3 subscription. You've got access to the entire database of amazing comics, of which there are a lot, including Vanguard's on there, isn't it, Dan?
Only the first issue at the moment, but I've got to find the additional 10 hours in a day. Try and do all the other shit I've got to do, and one of them's uploading it to
I know the feeling.
Those 10 hours that are always just out of reach, aren't they?
Just forego sleep 1 week.
You don't want to do that. I've done that. I had a week like that last week and I was miserable. but the thing that won't make you miserable is if you go to comichouse.com/app, sign up and find out more about them. And thanks to the guys from Comic House, as always.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Obviously, Comic House, the comic's going to be on there as well, isn't it?
Yeah, the actual Comic House anthology. Yeah, that's on there. Yeah. Which is chock full of awesome content, including artwork by me. I have been doing stuff, people. I haven't just been doing the show.
Yeah.
Vince has been concerned that people haven't been seeing his stuff, and he has been hard at work.
Yeah, we're almost there, aren't we, with the artwork for the first issue now, aren't we?
I'm well behind, but I'm on the case.
I know what's going to happen, Dan, when it comes to our anthology.
Yeah.
Me and Tony will we'll cough or clear our lungs one day and we'll turn around and all of a sudden you've just delivered 10 pages. You're prolific, son. I know you're probably going to finish before I will. That's how scared I am.
Oh, God, no. No way.
But we're on track for the launch at True Believers next year, but we'll talk more. I think we'll have probably an episode talking about the strips. Do you think that's a good idea? Closer to the
time? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good one. But yeah, this past weekend or past couple of weekends, it's been convention madness.
Obviously,
we're going to start off. Tony Esmond wasn't here last week.
No, good show though, guys. Very much enjoyed it.
Cool. Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Although you did say that I was like a worm,
making its way through the Big Apple. Yeah.
Do you like that? Then Emma sent you a picture.
Yeah, we got a picture. That was great.
It wasn't a crew picture for once. Yeah. Yes, but
usually when they're worms involved, they are.
Yeah.
Tony was in New York for his annual pilgrimage.
Yep.
To New York Comic Con. So, do you want to give us your little convention report, Tony?
Yeah, it is literally like a pilgrimage, isn't it? I often think of it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not a religious man, but I suppose this is kind of our religion, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have to say, booking the tickets this year was a slightly different effect because you booked per day. So, I this year bit the bullet and only booked Thursday, Friday and Sunday, because Saturday historically has just been
it's a badass,
your head against the wall, like, yeah, it's like literally you might as well just dive into a rugby scrum and stay in it for the whole day, you know, it's a bit like that sort of thing. So I took that decision. I thought, right, I'm going to do that. It's had a change of layout, so the area that was Artist Alley has been knocked down, which is, as you look at the front of the building from 11th Avenue, it's on the far right, that's gone now. And they've basically stuck Artist Alley in the basement, almost, on the far left of the building, and it's much smaller. So that was a slight disappointment, I'll be honest with you. It's not as airy down there. It's a sort of carpeted area where before it was sort of, you know, a big sort of hangar of a building, which was much easier to sort of negotiate around, and much smaller this one was, which was a shame. But they still had quite a few big names there. I managed to bump into quite a few, but... talk about I got there. So I got the plane with Christian and Laura Wildgoose and Matt Harrower, so it was like the party plane, you know. So how good is that? You get your mates now on Batgirl and you get the plane with him. That's cool, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I hung about with the three of them and others all week, and they were great company. And I have to say, Chris is getting an awful lot of attention around his art, and rightly so. Do you know what I mean? Porcelain 3 was released 2 days ago as we record at the Lakes.
Indeed. Can't wait to see that.
We're getting sent a copy, aren't we? I can't wait to see it. After having seen that little ash can he brought out, oh my God. Probably, yeah, I think you said, Dan, this is like to be my book of the year, and I think I feel the same way. Yeah.
No offence to all the great books we've seen over the year and will do in the next couple of months.
Yeah.
But this is just amazing, the Porcelain series.
Yeah. And I'd say Chris was like courted by various writers and editors at the table, and podcasters came over. I introduced John Suntris to him. I had a great chat with John, actually. John does Word Balloon, if anyone listens to Word Balloon, which is it's probably the most long-standing podcast I've listened to most consistently. He's a sort of old radio guy, John.
Yeah.
Emphasis on the old. And he he interviews people with a very sort of clever, insightful interviewing techniques. And we had a chat. We sort of swapped cards and agreed that we might, at some point in the future, do a bit of a crossover, which would be quite cool, actually.
That'd be great, yeah.
Yeah, a really big fan of his stuff. Speaking of podcasters, Jason Wood and the boys from 11 O'Clock, Vince and David. I had a good chat with Jason more than the other two, really, Jason was over the moon because he got a commission. He collects domino commissions.
Yeah.
And he got a commission.
I saw
some
of the stuff. He came back with quite a few domino commissions from New York.
Yeah, he does. It's his thing, I think. It's his jam, as he keeps telling me.
Is it always like one, not like you change per year, don't you?
Yeah, but I try. And I didn't have a theme this year, actually. I didn't go in with a theme because I just thought, oh, I'm just going to buy a couple of comics. I didn't quite buy as much as usual, but he does the domino thing, and I think he spends a pound note on it, I've got to tell you. But he was saying to me, oh, do you know Christian? Hey, do you know him? You know, I was thinking, yeah, I've known him for years. And he was like over the moon. And Christian got so much attention, rightly so.
Yeah.
And Chris was next to the Mighty Vander, who also is inundated. You know, he's a really popular artist, and rightly so. He gets so many sort of commission requests and, you know, comics to draw on and stuff like that, you know, really good. So that table was next to Brent Schoonover, who's always funny. I always giggle at Brent. He always joins in the sort of, you know, I have those usual questions that we can't repeat on air. You know, who would you sleep with first if you're in a lifeboat with me and Scarlett Johansson? You know, those sort of ones.
Yeah.
And he loved them. He was right into that. And he was sharing one with Lambo. So those two tables next to each other were great. You know, so talk about the talent at those two tables. Really, really good stuff. And it was hard, actually, even as a mate of theirs, to get over there and chat to them, because they always, all of them to a man, seem to have someone sort of chatting to them, you know.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, really good. So got there, first night we went out. Went out with my friend, long-term friend, Adrian Hashimi. If you go to Hash Art on the internet, see his art. He's a very well-known storyboarder. It's kind of Robert Redford's go-to storyboarder, and also does sort of quite interesting comics himself as well. He came out with his wife, Amory. I love them both. Brilliant people. And we were joined by Bob Fingerman, who came down, who's great company. So always on the first night, I always try and stay out as long as I can because of the time change. You know,
yeah. You
want to sort of acclimatise quickly. So I stayed out. Everyone sort of sloped off to bed. And me and Bob just stayed at the bar, like, drinking. And I got back to the room sort of quite late, like, feeling in the morning I felt a bit hungover, to be fair. but good company. I saw Bob.
What was that, Antonio? Too many fuzzy nipples?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And then we went to... I ended up going for lunch with Bob on the Saturday, the Daily Gathering Convention. He took me to the diner that features in The Defenders. Which is really cool. He says, right, look back there. Where he just told me, come to this diner at this street, I'll meet you there. So I met him there, and he went, right, where have you seen this before? And I'm like, oh, where have I seen this? Because you know what diners are like, you know, you think, okay.
Yeah.
In York, he says, this is in The Defenders, you idiot. I'm like, oh, brilliant. so then we went to, had a coffee and a bite to eat, and then he took me to this sort of, it's kind of like a pathway park area down by the river, but it's where they shot a load of The Warriors.
Okay.
You know the bit where he gets hanged, he chats up the woman on the park bench and she handcuffs him.
Ajax.
That's it. That's that. We sat right there where it happened. That was brilliant. Yeah, really good. And Bob donated a couple of books to the Nottingham, which we'll talk about in a minute, the Nottingham raffle, which is really kind of him. So that was good. The hall itself, I got to, you name it, I spoke to them really. I'll tell you who I spoke to a couple of times was Sarah Grayley, who was also at Nottingham. So I used the, you know, the brilliant line of, oh, last time I saw you, Sarah, was in New York, which is quite cool, isn't it, in front of people. Is that part of time? Yeah. Russ Braun, who did The Boys, I'm a big fan of Russ's work, and he was like super friendly, really nice guy, recommending anything he's got out at the moment. And then two people who I'm just huge, my comics heroes, were Keith Giffen. I got to spend some time with Keith and chat to him. I love Keith Giffen's work, from The Defenders, Legion Superheroes, OMAC, Ambush Bug, even Justice. I've got a page of Justice in front of me here, and he was the funniest. He's just sort of this grizzled, grumpy, dryly humorous guy, you know, who's seen it and done it.
Why you'd get on with him, Tony.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I went to Bill Sienkiewicz turned up, didn't have a banner, just sat down at the table drawing, didn't have anything to sell. I thought, I really want to buy something. I can't really, you know, his commissions are probably out of my price range. So I said, oh, Bill, I haven't got anything to sell, but I just want to say I'm not really, you know, over the years, I really enjoyed your work. And I sort of stood there chatting to him for ages. And what a gent. What a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good. Yeah. Yeah. Talking about, like, probably one of the big talents, isn't he? Top 10 talents of comics, you know.
Yeah.
Just incredibly nice guy. Jim Marfood, had a chat with him, went over with Mr. Harrower, who's, you know, if you've seen Matt's work, you'll know how much of a fan he is of his work, you know.
Yeah.
Got to meet Giovanni Timpano, who has been doing The Shadow recently. I've always gushed about his work online, really good stuff. Speaking of sort of UK influence stuff, I went to the IDW Full Bleed and Black Crown panel, which is sort of last knock-ins on the Friday. I met Adam, actually, from the Orbiting Pod there, so we had a chat, sort of sat next to him and had a chat. Up on the board in front of me, up on the PowerPoint in this big room at New York, came Martin Simmons. And I'll tell you what, I was chatting to Martin about this yesterday at Nottingham. Martin is going places, I tell you. You want to get on board anything he's done, because that price is... Shelley Bond, who's doing this, if you think of Black Crown as kind of the Vertigo spin-off, when Vertigo span out of DC, this is what is... She's taken the line on IDW, and Black Crown is spinning out of IDW. And it is looking... I'm literally going to go into the Orbital Comics this week and say, put everything down on my pull list, because it all looks incredible stuff. And Martin's doing Punk's Not Dead. I think it's called Punk is Dead. I'm which one it is now. But the visuals look fucking amazing. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, incredible stuff. I'll tell you what happened. I was having lunch with a dinner with Vanda, Lambo, and Harrower. And as I was walking out, I was wearing a Colossi t-shirt. You know that book we reviewed a while ago?
Yeah.
And Ricardo Mo walked past and went, oh, I like your t-shirt, mate. And it was Ricardo, the bloke who wrote it. Oh, wow. We had on the show, didn't we, a couple of months ago?
Yeah.
And what a nice guy. And he says, oh, I haven't really said to anyone I'm going to New York, because I just come as a punter and just have a wander around. And yep. I sort of had a beer with him. Yeah, what a top bloke. Yeah, good guy. What else did I do? I bought a page from one of my favourite series, Scout War Shaman. And I think I've told you how much that cost. Did I tell you?
No.
I bought a page from 1980s, not early 1990s, Eclipse book, which I've loved. You know, it's one of my favourite books. And it was $30.
Wow.
Blimey.
Yeah.
That's a great price.
Yeah.
God, yeah, yeah.
So on the Saturday, you didn't go to the con because it's, like I said, it's going crazy. Yeah. So you kind of took the day out.
Yeah, yeah. I'd recommend that to people, actually. If you've got kids, it might be good to go. But you couldn't even walk around. You had to shuffle around, you know, around this huge convention centre. You could just sort of shuffle about.
Yeah.
It's too much for me. Daniel Warren Johnson, had a chat with him. In fact, Daniel was one of those guys. I went and bought the Trade of Extremity from his son, and I bought Cherno. And then I went back because I think somebody asked me, oh, can you get it for me? And then Vince said, oh, can you get it for me? And I think I ended up going back to his table about four times. Every time I said, I've got another order, Daniel. And he's like laughing. And such a nice guy.
Did you leave a lot of room in your luggage for coming back?
I did. Presumably
your weight allowance go up.
Yeah, it does. Oh, God, yeah, it really does. Yeah. I'll tell you what, if you just put the free stuff you get at NYCC, it goes up hugely, you know.
Fucking hell.
People are walking around handing out copies of Heavy Metal and, you know, little mini comics and postcards and stuff like that. I'll tell you what I did meet, for anyone who's a bit of a metal, I suppose it's metal, is Claudio Sanchez from Coheed and Cambria.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. Do you know them, do you, Vince? Or is that a band?
Yeah, I know them. Yeah.
No, I don't know them.
Yeah, I think they're quite a big deal, aren't they? I think so.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much they've done past few years, but I know a good few years ago they were massive. They got a huge following. I know he makes a lot of comics.
Yeah, he does. He does them with his wife.
He's a big comics fan, isn't he?
He did a book called Translucid, I think for Boom, off the top of my head. And I met him. Matt Harrow's a huge fan, so I went over with Matt, and I bought a book for Kev. From Nottingham, I bought a book for him, and he signed it because Kev's like the world's biggest Coheed and Cambria fan.
Yeah,
nice. And Kev was over the moon with that. Yeah, really good. I'll stop in a second, but the Sarah Woolley, who's a big friend of mine, and we've got a mutual friend, Ed Triquino, who did that marvelous Kirby image for us for the Kirby show.
Of course,
yeah. She's kind of a mutual friend of ours, and I got to know her through that. And she's just done a story for Bitch Planet, and it looks absolutely amazing. So pleased for her. Such a nice person. She does a lot of work in the community and stuff like that, and comics workshops for kids and stuff like that. Really, really top person. And then Sunday night, the tradition is we go out towards Adrian's place out in Harlem. So we had a meal under the big railway out in Harlem, right next to the Cotton Club in this pub. It's just like the nicest night, you know. Out in the air, but I'll tell you what, fucking hot it was. It was short weather the whole time.
Wow, okay.
And then every couple of days, it would just like absolutely the heavens would burst with all the sort of humidity, and then the rain would come down for a bit. Yeah, really, really good. I would say, I think I wrote this in the con report. I would say I was a tiny bit disheartened with the event in that it's becoming more of an MCM.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. It's definitely not that bad, but. I didn't see, me and Matt were keeping an eye out for people reading comics. I didn't see anyone reading a comic in the canteen or in the queue or, you know, in the restaurant bit or in the halls. The only people we saw reading comics were me and him. Yeah, which is a shame, really.
Yeah.
I
hope it doesn't change into that.
Yeah, I do.
DC Comics had a vested interest, but I hope it doesn't.
Maybe one day you might go. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those things. DC Comics had a booth. They had a sort of separate booth outside of Artist Alley and outside of the main hall where they had a lot of the costumes from Justice League on show, but they also had signing tables and stuff like that. And it was just stuck at the end of the lobby. And at one point I saw Jim Lee sitting on his own, nobody in a queue. At one point I saw David Finch sitting on his
fucking
own, nobody
hell,
in a queue. And I
Jim
thought,
Lee
these people
with
would
no
have been
queue.
Mobbed. Yeah, exactly. If I wish I'd taken a picture of the Jim Lee one, but I did take a picture of the David Finch one. And he's, he's a huge name. Two years ago.
Oh God, if he was in a UK one, you'd get mobbed.
Even stop signing things, would he?
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a shame. But I did have a nice moment where I was looking at, I spent the week looking at original art, so I managed to hold Kirby and Ditko and Wrightson and, you know, Gil Kane pages in my hands and stuff like that, you know, for the whole weekend. And I'm looking through a big binder of Ditko and Kirby pages, and I hear someone talking about, I think they were talking about House of Mystery pages or something, and I look to my left and it's Dan DiDio and Jeff Johns with baseball caps on looking at all the original art. And to me at that moment I thought, right, they're good guys because they put a couple of baseball caps on so they don't get bothered, so they can go and look at the art of, you know,
The
people they grew up reading. I thought, that's nice, really like that.
Yeah.
Well played, you know.
So you start bothering them.
Yeah, I'd humping one of their legs and asking for the return of OMAC. But yeah, I mean, I'm never down about New York because not only is, you know, it's Mecca for comics. I got to meet some amazing people. You know, just if I just met Keith Giffen, that would have made my trip, you know. And it was so good to see Christian and Laura, who hadn't been to it before, and see how much they enjoyed it. It's worth it, but I worry the comic side is a little bit on decline. It certainly was this year. I hope it's not something that keeps going next year. Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I come back with a bag full of stuff, so it wasn't too bad.
Yeah. Another thing. Well, you came back with something else as well, didn't you? You came back with a little bit of audio.
I went to the Mad as a Box of Frogs, Men versus Rock. I love those guys. I'll tell you what, I tried to speak to them three times and they were busy every time, but yeah, great guys. But I did, me and Matt went and spoke to them and got a bit of audio.
You did indeed. So, here it is for your listening pleasure. Tony Esmond, live from New York, talking to the guys from Man vs. Rock. Enjoy.
We're a team, okay?
Yeah. Right, I'm here with...
We don't do anything without each other.
Kevin and Victor from... Man vs. Rock initially. What is the name of your company? Is it still Man vs. Rock? Is that what you call it?
Actually, the name Enron just became available, so now we're doing Enron Comics. Look us up, guys. It's going to be
Republican
big.
Comics has got to be a...
What's that?
Republican Comics has got to be a thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And Democrat, obviously. Play both sides. Yeah, yeah.
Comics for cucks. That's what we go by.
Now, I'm here with Matt. Say hello, Matt.
Hi.
Wanker.
The look on his face, by the way, was just priceless. He just looks like somebody like stabbed his cat or something like that.
We are big fans of Man vs. Rock. I read I'm Presidential for the podcast. You're very kindly. Your press agent sent it through. I was very impressed that your press agent sent it through. And absolutely loved it, mate. Absolutely brilliant. Just all I needed in the current political situation was to read your comic. I've got to admit. So, but you were, Victor, you were telling me that it took a while to get going. So you'd written one thing, and then the political world overtook you.
It was one of the more, frustrating strips that we've written because it was an ongoing sort of thing. It was a living organism that we had to keep beating into submission.
Right, and, like a kid.
Yeah, like all of our children, or random children we find on the street that we beat ruthlessly. But yeah, no, we had to like basically rewrite stuff, like work it. We had to try to make it. Find creative angles to take things in different ways and, I don't know, just have fun with it still. And
it was initially a lot like the movie La La Land, and then we went in a different direction.
Well, last year you were next to some sort of kitten thing, weren't you? Was it like a kitten stall or something last year?
I think it's the same
booth. They're
still giving us stink eyes the whole time because I accidentally spilled coffee all over their booth last year.
I'd say I've been past when Thursday and Friday trying to catch you, and you've been busy both days. Have you had a good con? Or
it's been a great con. We've almost sold out, actually. This
Other
is like all we've got.
Training order, everything's been going well.
That's from him.
That's right. Guilty as charged.
So what have you got new? What's coming out next? So you've done Unpresidential. That comes out in November. Am I right in saying that?
Correct. Comes out in November in bookstores everywhere, November 21st, the 1-year anniversary of the Trump apocalypse.
Oh, okay.
So other than that, we've officially jumped the shark. So that's pretty much, we're not putting anything else out. No, we got other stuff in the works. I mean, I think we have another comic book that's basically called How to Sell Out by Man vs. Rock. It's our kids' book.
Legitimately, we do have a kid's book. It's called Furry Co-Pilots.
I just saw you got
It's about a space adventure named Tommy who's looking for a co-pilot. And she finds one when she crash lands on a planet full of adorable walking, talking puppies who drive tennis ball cars and shop at Forever 21.
With a fur emphasis.
Because Matt's a furry, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We wrote it for Matt.
With, like, Disney, we put, like, secret sex symbols in the background. Like, furries, like, are doing it in the bushes. And, like...
Yeah. So that's our kids' book.
Yeah. So where can people buy Unpresidential? So it's on Amazon, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Unpresidential is available for pre-order on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. If you like our stuff, it really helps if you pre-order. It gets them to buy more and more. And, you know, eventually, like I said in the previous interview with you guys, we won't rest until we put Marvel and DC out of business. So we need your heart. I know. I know. We sabotage them from within. You know?
Yeah. And it's manversusrock.com.
It's manversusrock.com or our other website, whitehouse.gov/manversusrock.
Thanks, guys.
We also Thank got you. Some, merch,
oh.
too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we got some T-shirts. We got this hat, Make North Korea Great Again, a red Magna Carta hat.
And you can find that on our website, manversusrock.com. And also, I wanted to thank the Awesome Pod, which is one of the greatest pods that we could possibly have done.
You're listening to the Awesome Pod podcast. Man vs. Rock gives you two boners up.
Again, check out our kids' book.
Cheers, guys. Thanks.
Cheers, man.
Wow, they're still they're mental, aren't they? They're still crazy.
They're so good. And they're so promotive of us. You know what I mean? They're really, really good.
Nice.
Yeah, that's really cool of them. Yeah, we got a free print. They gave me a free you know, the Scream. They've done a print.
Oh, yeah, there's that Man vs. Rock version of it, isn't there?
Yeah.
When we had that show with them on, or one of them, that stays in my memory of one of the shows that we've done.
Yeah,
me too,
as well. Yeah, it does as me.
Yeah, because it was one of those shows that when it started, it was like, this could go anywhere. This is that was real roller coaster podcasting, wasn't it? You're just like, I'm just on this train and I'm just gonna let it ride. No, but they're
it was the flipping in and out of character that got me.
Yeah,
it was kind of
yeah. Like when you talk to them, they're like fairly normal, and then I turn the mic on and they just like turn it up to 11 and just go crazy. Yeah, you can see them giggling. Yeah. When I said at one point, I think in that interview, I said something like, "Oh, and your press agent contacted me," and you can see Victor's like fucking pissing himself because he knows that they made it up.
Yeah. So we're very pleased that you had a great time, Tony. As always,
thank you.
We're jealous every year.
One day we'll have a table there when the old anthology money starts rolling in. He'll be there, won't we?
Yeah. We'll have a table outside the building because they won't let us in.
Yeah.
That's what it'll be. Yes. So Tony came back from New York, and then just a sparse few days later, he came up to Nottingham for this weekend.
It's been a busy couple of weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, 14th of October was Nottingham Comic Con 2017, which is just in the bag. It's fresh. I don't know whether I've caught the con crud. How are you feeling, Tony?
Yeah, not too bad. I think I'm a bit tired because after deciding what amazing plan I had that I would go out, have a curry with everyone, have a drink with everyone, and then I would drive back. And then discovering that the M1 was closed, which I then sat on for a couple of hours. I think I'm just a bit tired from that. So I should have just bitten a bullet and got a hotel. Do you know what I mean? So, but that's all right. Not too bad. I got to stop off. I stopped off at a services and read a shitload of comics just to wait for the traffic to die down. So that's all right. Yeah.
I had once when I was seeing a girl who lived in Loughton. And,
oh, I know. Yeah.
I kind of... Yeah, I didn't time it quite right because I broke up with her and then had to drive home, and then I got onto, I can't remember what fucking motorway it was, but basically like I was like a DEFCON 4 needing a piss, like straight away getting on it, and the fucking like the traffic there was just not going anywhere. And I'm sure you've ever been in that scenario, like what do I do here, what did you do?
I've told you a story about my mate, haven't I?
Yes.
What did he do?
Yes.
He was on the motorway and he went past thinking, oh, I need a poo, and he drove to services and thought, our next service is 16 miles. I'll wait for that one because, you know, then went a mile past the services into a traffic jam. And he got there and he just went, nah, just had to go.
He just sat in it. Yeah, that's grim. Yeah.
Do you remember grim the story now, Dan? As soon as it started, I thought,
here we go, this one.
Yeah.
I might write down a piece of paper, put it on the wall. Don't ask about that story.
I'll tell you what wasn't shit, though. Nottingham Comic Con.
It wasn't, was it? It was brilliant.
It was a great day. I think. Well done to Kev and Cal and all of the people that helped out on the day.
Yeah, I think
I've heard nothing but good things about it.
I'll tell you who were really good as well. Geek Force, the guys from Geek Force who ran all the techie stuff in the panel hall. They're great, really nice bunch of guys as well. Yeah. Really sort of, you know, came up and had a chat and really funny. Yeah.
Did they record any of the panels and stuff?
We're going to get audio copies of it as well. Yeah, brilliant. The audio. Certainly the ones I did. I did two, and then Alex did another two, and they certainly did mine.
One of yours was broken up, wasn't it, Tony?
we didn't start. So the second one, which was Breaking In, with Dave Leach, Sarah Grayley again, Jason Gunn and Mark Lamin, we're just literally about to start talking and the fire alarm went off. So we all had to go and stand outside, which you no doubt will have seen pictures of us on Facebook.
Yeah.
Larking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was actually quite fun. It was actually, people just would have gone to the pub at some conventions because it was so good. Everyone stood about waiting to go back in again.
Yeah.
And I'd say we're worried because we thought that the talk would be, you know, nobody would turn up after the fire alarm. And it was a packed room.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I was quite pleased. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, good.
So that was a bit of an adventure. I took a selfie with a bunch of people outside.
They
came out well, that picture.
Yeah. Thanks.
I love the Gibster's face in that. It just makes me laugh. He's just making that face in it.
Check my Twitter feed to see what that is. What a bunch of people who are waiting outside. See, you put comic creators in the same area, they're not going to do anything serious, are they, really? So that was a bit of excitement. But apart from that, the rest of it, there was just loads of comics everywhere. And one of the things I like about it was there was loads of families. It's a really family-friendly event.
Yeah,
that's great.
And it was fantastic. I mean, obviously, I do a comic which is, I hope, is appealing to all ages. And there was lots of kids checking out the Red Mask and stuff. Well, yeah, you're appealing to everyone, Tony.
Bob, you kept saying, because I had all the artwork for Cockney Kung Fu on the table, and Vince said, turn the page. That page, it just says fuck all the way across it. It's Sean Sheridan.
It's true. Even in real life, I'm the person who has to censor Tony Esmond. Yeah.
We had a good spot, though. I think part of it, the reason, because we didn't stop talking to people all day, did we? We didn't stop.
Which is why I've got a slightly throaty voice today. I sound a little bit sexier.
Yeah. Was that we were upstairs. If you go up the stairs and just go around the corner, you're sort of presented by our table, weren't you? We had a nice little corner there opposite. To the right, we had the Reckless Boys, and then opposite, we had Nick Prolix, and he was next to Lambo, and it was Jen Reese, who was just along, and Em and Gav were just along from her, and Matt and Rachel Ball were just behind us. It was good where we were sat. It was really good, I think.
Yeah.
You know.
Matt Garvey, who was on the just opposite us, just to the side, he kept messing with my table whenever he had the chance. I'm not going to forget that.
Matt was good, actually, because the first panel was Matt, Chris Imber and John Late. We had a sort of indie small press panel, and they were all great on it. Really good. Mm. Yeah, it was really fun.
Matt had a cosplayer turn up as his character.
Yeah, I saw that. That's fantastic. That's the ultimate kind
of
ether. Thing.
Is it?
Press
what's
creator.
The name of the
ether,
character?
Yeah,
that was amazing.
And then the Gibster was obviously there. Gibster helped us out with the table, didn't he? He was good company as always. He stayed out to the last knockings, I think.
He helped us out at the table all day. So thank you very much, James Gibbs.
And I suppose also Sarah Harris also helped us at the table because she came in about, I'm going to say, about half hour after they'd opened, didn't she?
Yeah.
And then I just pretended that it was I kept saying how dry it was, and you're going, "What are you fucking going on about?" And then you realise I was going on about me wanting a cup of tea, and she just went, "I'll go and get you a drink. What do you want?" And then at the end of the day, she remembers she turned up with a badge that said something like, Shut up and get me a tea or something.
It was good. Thank you. I mean, because we're knowing more and more people with every show that we go to, I think it'll be an exhaustive list. What we should probably do is we'll put a post up in the group page with a big thank you, see if we can remember all the people that were there. I mean, seriously though, if you came up and spoke to us or bought anything or just had a chat or interacted with us at all, thank you very much. You know, you made the day really awesome.
Just a couple of notables, other than the people we've mentioned already, was Susie and the Beard, as they're known. Susie Gander, who released Periwinkle, and she was just non-stop, wasn't she? Yeah,
she had a very successful first convention. We're very, very pleased and proud for her. And we almost talked her into doing an interview for us.
Yeah, we did, didn't we? Yeah, she didn't. I did it. But, yeah.
But that fell apart for reasons that we'll tell Dan about off air.
Rachel Ball, who turned up, Kev very kindly said, "Oh, could you want to recommend a couple of guests?" And I recommended Rachel after I read The Inflatable Woman, and she had a great day. She's messaged me today saying how fun it was. And Jay Gunn and his wife Rosa came along as well. And I have to say, if you're a convention, invite Jay, because he was the most enthusiastic, encouraging guest on the panel. He was like, make comics, you know. He's like talking directly to kids in the audience and stuff like that. Really great stuff. Yeah, really good. He sold out as well, didn't he? He sold out all of his books.
Yeah. Oh god, yeah, he had an amazing convention.
He did, yeah.
Yeah. So we managed to get some audio. We managed to get a few interviews. Actually, when I looked at the length of the audio we got, it's a fairly decent chunk. So you can't complain, folks. We're spoiling you this week.
Yeah, some new and some old as well, didn't we? We got
something
new
old,
to us,
something new, something borrowed, something blue. There's probably quite a bit of blue stuff in there.
Yeah.
I do hope so.
Yeah. So should we just put it in now? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Already it's gone wrong. So here is the audio of Nottingham Comic Con that we managed to get on the day. Enjoy it. We'll catch you afterwards. Here we are at Nottingham Comic Con 2017.
Yeah, it's the second one of these you've done, is it?
Second one as a podcast, I think. So we're going to try and get some interviews and bits of audio. As the day goes on.
Friend of mine, I spent 4 days in New York and got one.
Yeah. But I'll endeavour to try and get some. Anyway, no, I'll probably fail as well. That's what normally happens. So it's all set up. It's looking great. It's
our
looking
table
fantastic.
Looks pretty good. Because last time I had one of these tables, it was just a brown table with no covering and a load of postcards. And whenever kids tried to take one, I'd tell them to fuck off.
Well, yeah, because they got to pay for them.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to pay for the
money.
Postcards.
It costs money.
Well, everything costs money.
Yeah.
Apart from our podcast, which is free every week on Podbean. What we'll probably do is we'll take a picture of the table, shouldn't we?
I've done that already.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, bloody hell. To take a picture of my table?
Yeah, it says gangsters, and I put it on Twitter.
Ah, nice.
Hashtag gangsters.
So as you can tell from that picture, we look quite professional, but the rest of the show isn't going to be. Oh, so enjoy the next half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever it'll
10
be.
10 minutes. Yeah.
We'll be knackered by the end.
Yeah, we'll complain.
Yeah, as always.
Hey, I'm here with Susie Gander, not a made-up name. Hi, Susie.
Oh, hello. Are we actually doing this?
Yeah.
Oh, hello.
It's not the first time she said that to me. I would say that because her huge husband isn't here.
No pressure.
No.
Hello.
Vince is sitting down because he's tired.
I am.
Yeah. He's old.
He is old, isn't he? He looks young, though. He's got his new fancy haircut. I think it looks good on him.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah. So, launch of Periwinkle today. How's it gone?
Very, very well, thank you. I'm going to try to say thank you not too much this time.
Oh, yes.
Told me off last time.
So you've sold, what time is it now? So we've been open, what, 2.5 hours?
Yes.
And you've sold a bundle already?
I have, yeah.
Have you had any people who did the Kickstarter come by, or?
One.
All right.
Yeah, so that was quite nice, had a chat. Just nice being face-to-face. It's a bit, it's different, getting used to it, but I'm enjoying it. So
and is this your first time tabling?
Yes.
How have you found that?
Nervous. Nervous, but good.
Are you insisting on drinks hourly, sandwiches? No eye contact.
I've got Chris running around everywhere.
Oh, you've got the beard here, haven't you?
Yeah, the beard's downstairs. The beard is my sort of, you know.
He's looking after you while you're upstairs speaking
assistant.
To us.
Yeah, he's doing all the work downstairs.
I hope he never listens to this because he won't be pleased.
He will. I owe him one now.
Right, so the question remains. Now you've done Periwinkle.
Yes.
What's next?
Wow. What's next, Tony?
Apart from our silly little thing that we do.
Funny enough, I was having a chat yesterday and there is an idea. It's only a smidgen of an idea at the moment. Hello. But it could possibly tie in with the 100th year of Armistice.
Oh, wow, okay.
Potentially, maybe, if it works.
With you writing an artist or...?
Maybe. There might be two Ganders working on it.
Oh, the beard.
The beard.
Oh, brilliant.
Yes, he's a history genius.
He? Oh, excellent.
And it was
He told me he's a genius.
It's something he's actually thought up. So, and it sounded like it could work.
Good.
So we're going to...
How do you feel about the sort of creative relationship? Might cause trouble in paradise.
The thing is, we kind of work together, so it'll be like 24/7 together anyway. That so that's
like
horror. I know,
ever.
Right?
Yeah. No, it sounds brilliant. No, it does sound brilliant. I have to say.
No, it should be good. It should be alright. Fingers crossed.
Other thing, you and I are doing something for Little Heroes, aren't we?
We are doing something for Little Heroes.
We're doing something which is a charity that raises, hands out comics at hospitals.
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're doing a story about a boy in a bicycle. So have you learned to draw bicycles yet? Or?
No. I said to Chris in the car yesterday, I'm going to have to practice drawing bicycles. And
okay.
It's just like, but no, it's very, I've read it.
Oh,
not
going to
give
good.
Anything away, but yeah. it looks really good. I've got some frames in my mind.
Oh, brilliant.
So
good.
We'll talk about that later.
Excellent. I don't know when the deadline, when was the deadline for that? Was it next November or
you
something?
You said November to me.
I think that's what
November.
You said to me. It's yeah. probably December. I just said November to you to get...
Hey, I always deliver.
You're always on time. Good. Have a good day, and we'll
Thank
maybe
you.
Chat again later.
Yes, definitely. Thank you.
Right, I'm here with Sean Dobie,
aka
Dobes from the internet.
I don't exist in real life.
No,
I'm just
no,
on
no,
the
no,
internet.
You don't. No, you don't. Well, no, you exist, and you're wonderful. But yeah, you're here, and you're launching an issue.
Yes.
Aren't you? So what are you launching?
Launching issue 4 of Descending Outlands. So this is the 4th one out of the 5-part series. Which
Almost at the end.
Almost at the end. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Salvation. Yes, I mean, issue 5 itself as well is halfway done, so hopefully get that finished by Christmas. But yeah, issue 4 is launching today, so hopefully people like it. It's got zombies in it, which is always good.
Now, I've known about the story for a little while, and I know you've been extremely excited about putting zombies into a space comic.
It was one of the first stories I came up with for it.
Before everything else, you just thought, I want to put zombies in space?
Yeah, pretty much.
And it is, it's another epic issue, because like, you don't do things by halves, are you? How many pages is this one?
I think this one's 40, so it's not as big as issue 3,
yeah.
And it's not going to be as big as issue 5.
Yeah.
I'm not one to really constrain to the formula.
Yeah. What is a page count? What is it?
Exactly. It's nothing.
It's a mythical construct.
Yeah. Who needs it?
It's theoretical.
Rubbish.
And that's why this series is really epic. And like, there's lots of big action in this one as well, isn't there?
Yeah. So there's... you've kind of got the start off, which is just to close off the cliffhanger from issue 3. Then you've got the kind of nice epic action bit in the middle. And then it ends up with a little bit more of a background story of Church, one of the main characters as well. So it kind of gives you a little bit of everything on this one.
Yeah.
And just kind of sets it up for the final climax. And I know you like a climax.
I knew this was going to happen.
Oh, you're touching my penis. I like
yes,
it.
This interview is taking place in the toilets. No, it's not. No, but seriously, Descending Outlands. What is, for those who don't know anything about the series, watch the quick setup for it.
Avoid it. It's really shit. No, it's kind of along your vein of Firefly, Serenity, Guardian to the Galaxy, where it's a space epic with a group of questionable rogues, but with good intentions that are just trying to get by. And during a heist, they kind of bit off a bit more than they can chew, and it lands them in trouble with an evil corporation, as there always is, called the Fountain, that hunt them across the galaxy. And they hence have kind of hide out in the Outlands, which are like the edge of the system where things aren't quite as
it's
nice.
It's like a super epic space chase, firefight. There's everything going on in this series, isn't there?
Yeah, it's basically anything that I think's cool from any sci-fi series that's actually happened merged together.
Yes.
That's kind of how I try and write it.
And it's epic. And
you do use the word epic a lot. I like
there's
it.
There's no other way to describe it because,
epic.
You know, you could sort of say, oh, it's got everything in it except zombies. And now you put zombies into it.
An epic adventure with zombies.
You should totally do an advert like that. So where can people find out more about the comic?
They can find out by going to my Twitter page, which is @Dobes2. Not @Dobes, @Dobes2. That's the
number. Why is that? Why is?
Because
surely there's only one. You're like Highlanders, aren't you?
There is only one, but unfortunately I'm on various registers for Dobes and Dobes 1. So Dobes 2 is the safe one for now. But you can also go to evilcat.com, that's evilcat with a K, and descendingoutlands.com, where you can actually buy more.
Awesome. So you have customers, so I'll let you go.
Okay, I'm here with Brick, who is from Nottingham Does Comics.
Correct.
Yeah. How long have you been in existence? Do you want to tell us a little bit about it, Brick?
Okay, we came together 2 years ago using the model of Ladies Do Comics with their blessing, only changing the gender bias. And essentially it's a talking shop. We meet bi-monthly and you'll get three different people ranging from the sort of the star level of Hunt Emerson down to abject beginners. And they will talk for about 15 minutes and then there's Q&A and general chat, and it's there that really the things happen. We've managed to help people out with their projects. We've helped people out with their printing and publishing and all that sort of stuff, and various add-ons from that. So it's a kind of, essentially the brief is to promote comics amongst everybody from readers through to publishers through to retail, creatives, etc., etc., and all that is in the mix.
Okay. So, have you got a background in comics yourself? Have you?
I started out as a political cartoonist.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and that's what I'm known for. But I have a, I was the editor on To End All Wars, which was a couple of years ago.
That's Pat Mills, Alison Sampson, and a few other people took part. It was Alison Sampson Pat Mills in that. Yeah.
Pat Mills wrote an introduction.
That's right. Yeah.
But it is an anthology, and it was an anthology specifically designed to counter what we thought would be a lot of rah-rah around, you know, the great boys type of stuff. But also, I've published Depresso, which was a story about depression. Guess what? A comic, a humorous story about depression, and another indie called East of Aleppo. But I've been doing comics.
I've just been sent East of Aleppo to read.
Have you?
Yes.
Read it.
I will do it. I've downloaded it. It's on my Dropbox.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
I look forward to that. It looks great. It looks really good.
It's got its problems. It's got its problems, but I don't really do serious too well.
Okay.
I'm a satirist. I come from a satirist background. But this particular story, which I stumbled on, where we blew the shit out of the wrong people, I kind of figured somebody ought to make that more public.
Yes.
So I took that on as part of my kind of lefty concerns and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, I'm ongoing and you know, I've just finished the script with a librettist. Do you know what a librettist is?
No, I don't.
A librettist is someone who writes operas.
Oh, right, okay.
So I've done a humorous comic script with a somebody who's into classical music, essentially. So it just, you know, it keeps rolling on. I run Nottingham Does Comics, but it's essentially run by the volunteers who turn up and do it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's all good.
So what sort of other books have come out from Nottingham Does Comics?
Well, I can't say that they've come out of. We've more helped people out. So we have things like Filigree, Drones. These are by Magoria Studios, who are just starting out this year. Very ambitious. They want to put writers and illustrators together. They're doing their own publications. We've got other people who are in the process of producing. It's because we have a good system. We have this thing that's been started up called Five Leaves Graphics, which is another indie comic publisher.
It's a Nottingham-based indie.
It's a Nottingham-based one. And their brief is mainly to publish excellent work from overseas in translation. So there's all this breadth of bande dessinée and stuff like that that we don't get to see in this country. We're always looking to the west rather than looking to the east, if you like. So we've set up a publishing house to essentially buy in these, translate them, put them into the English market.
Yeah.
And because of that, we have very smooth relationships with distributors, you can't do a lot unless you've got a good distribution.
Okay.
And with printers. And we're offering these rails, if you like, these routes to indies who are using...
It's a great idea. Yeah.
They're using Nottingham Dust Comics to raise these issues, to learn about how to do stuff. We have three academics, professors, who are producing scripts either of their research or of their thesis in comic form.
Well, which ones are those? Will I have seen them all?
No, they've not come out yet. Okay. So they're actually in the process. So these are academics who are learning the craft or the art of text and image combination together. We have one guy who's an atomic physicist who's called on board a writer and an illustrator to present his research as a story. We have another professor who's from this university, from Trent University, who's researching into textiles. Apparently there's digital textiles. I know nothing about this. And she's going to be presenting her research in comic form, so we're helping them. So we're doing what the colleges should be doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you do.
Essentially.
Yeah, yeah,
okay. And we're just promoting comics. And, you know, if we can get this in, I think that every city that has got a core of comics people, who often don't know each other, I mean, I've met four publishers here,
yeah,
indies here, I'm not even aware of, who are Nottingham-based, in those cities, there should be the equivalent to Nottingham Dust Comics to lift this thing up. Now, one final story is that this is a city of literature. Nottingham is a UNESCO city of literature. In order to get that, they have to hit certain targets and bring together their literati. I fought tooth and nail to get comic books accepted as literature. They got it. They got it last year, and it was quite clearly stated by the UNESCO people that the reason they got it is because they included comics.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, we're on the upthrust, really.
Yeah, I suppose the other side of it as well is you're getting a group of people together with a similar interest, and you're going to start finding people working together, collaborating.
We have that already. Yeah. We have that. Even Magoria, we had a German out of the last meeting. We had a German student who's just got a job in gaming,
right,
who wants to do comics, but he's not a writer. He wants to do a comic about Nottingham set in the 40s, so we've put him together with a writer. The writer's not come from comic sources. The writer's come from Nottingham Writers Studio, which is where our events take place.
Right, okay.
So, you know, it's cross-fertilisation.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
that's a similar way to ladies do comics as well.
Yeah,
very similar.
Yeah. I mean, we took their model with their blessing, but without that gender bias.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, Rachel Ball, who's over there, is a member of that group. Yeah. There's a lot of really good people coming out of that.
And we've had Nicola Streeton come and talk to us, and we've got, although she's not a member of it, we've got the woman who runs Myriad.
Oh, well, yes, I know what you mean. I can't think of her name.
Corinne.
Yes. Yeah,
Corinne Perlman. So she's going to come up and talk at our next meeting. So, you know, it's networking and making things grow.
So if you're from Nottingham, if you're a lover of or creator of comics, or you want to get involved in somehow, where would you look for it?
Okay, the thing to do is to go on our website, which is nottinghamdoescomics, all one word, .co.uk, and... you'll have all the information there about previous events, previous guests, forthcoming events, and the big one is we're going to do a December Christmas party, 7 artists, live drawing, projected on screen, bang. You're
nice.
Plus booze.
Well, that's the old British meta. It's the old British thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Comics equals booze.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Put the two together, something will spark.
Thanks, Rick. Very kind of you, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Okay, I'm here with Rachel Smith. I just messed up her name just a minute ago, which you probably heard. I blame that all on Sarah Millman. But yes, I'm here with Rachel Smith. It's getting towards the tail end of the day. And it's been a lovely day. But I tell you what's even lovelier, the success of your Kickstarter. For those who don't know about it, tell us a bit about Wired Up Wrong. Is it the deluxe edition?
The deluxe version, yes. So I brought out a book called Wired Up Wrong last year, and it was it
just before True Believers, or was it?
Launched it at Thought Bubble. So yeah, November time, and it was a little 40-page book, autobiocomics about just living with depression and anxiety, and I kind of just wanted a book out for Thought Bubble, and I did it as a bit of fun.
Was it just all original stuff, or was it a web comic that you then turned
no,
into?
No, I just did it for the book. There's a few pages knocking about online, but no, it wasn't a web comic. And I thought, you know, maybe a few people will get a kick out of this and stuff. And I think I took like 100 to Thought Bubble, and they sold out.
Nice one.
So
you sort of thought, maybe there's something to this.
Yeah, and then like I just did quite a small print run, and then when I got home, I put them on my online shop, and then they sold out really quickly. People were coming up to me saying the book made them feel less alone, and it made it easier for them to communicate how they felt with depression and stuff. I got really good reviews. Andy Oliver from Broken Frontier suggested that it was my most important work to date.
Yeah. So I can concur.
So I was like, huh, this is this book might be more important than I thought it was. So I was like, well, I need to reprint the books, but rather than just reprint the 40 pages, now that I know it has such an audience, I've got the potential to do something a bit more special here. So that's where the Kickstarter comes in, and I've added 100 pages, so it's now 140 pages long.
This was the thing that caught me, because I bought the first Wired Up Wrong, mm-hmm. and it's brilliant.
Thank you.
And then when there was the Kickstarter for the deluxe edition, my initial thought was, oh, it's obviously just going to be a hardcover, a couple of extra pages.
Yeah.
Went to the actual page and thought, she's added 100, is it 100 pages?
100 brand new pages, and a new cover as well.
And a new cover. So that's a serious deluxe edition, isn't it? That's over 100% new content. That's crazy.
I've been busy.
So what made you think, I mean, obviously you didn't think I need to add 100 pages. The extra content, was this something that was always in your head? And
I'm seeing a therapist now, so I kind of wanted to tell the story of how that came about, and hopefully that will... Because when I figured that I needed to see a therapist, that was a very scary thought for me. But it's actually been really helpful. So I'm hoping me sort of telling that story a little bit will inspire other people to reach out for help. And just to let people know it's not as scary as it sounds.
I think it's good when books like this, they're about important subjects that a lot of people can relate to. And a lot of that comes through in humour as well, doesn't it? Because a lot of them are, they're amusing tales or strips. But that, I think that helps people relate. Do you find, have people said to you about that they thought it was funny and it helped them relate?
Sure, yeah.
You're dealing with quite a difficult subject, can we say?
Sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, some of the book I found very difficult to make. There's 3 pages in there about when times get really hard.
Yeah.
And I found those pages really difficult to draw. But I think it's important to get both sides of it, because sometimes you'll be very happy and you can kind of be logical and objective about things. But when you're in the kind of downward spiral, everything feels very real and very scary. And I kind of wanted to try and get that across, but yeah, a lot of the strips are quite funny. it's a tricky book to talk about, because it's very easy to make it sound very gloom and doom, but it actually is quite uplifting and hopeful. I hope so anyway.
Well, I think that's why you've had such good feedback, I think, because I mean, if you just, the word depression is quite a scary word, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's also, I mean, so many people suffer with some kind of mental health issue, and it's that kind of, I want to sort of normalize talking about it, because people are still very embarrassed and find it very difficult to reach out for help, and I really want this book to make that all seem much easier than it is, than you might think it is.
Yeah, because like people will read it and no doubt you've said, oh, I can totally relate to this page. I feel like I'm not alone. You know, someone else feels like that. Have you been surprised by the amount of people that have come to you?
Yeah. yeah, definitely. I mean, that thought bubble that I launched, the smaller original book, like people bought it on the Saturday and then came back on the Sunday and were just like...
I mean, it's a swift read, isn't it? I mean,
yeah. Well, it was.
Oh, well, not anymore, yeah.
yeah, and just having that people coming and telling you that this book made them feel less alone and hopeful about, you know, feeling happy again is an amazingly overwhelming thing to deal with. I mean, it's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why I kind of felt like I needed to make this book a lot more special. So
yeah. It's comics in a sense that there has to be a sense of enjoyment to reading them, isn't there? But also if you can help someone feel better or people learn things. I mean, what have you learned during the process of this book, dare I ask? I mean, now that you added another 100 pages to the workload. Have you learned never to add 100 pages to anything ever again?
I've learned that I don't know. I've really enjoyed it. As I say, I found it, some of it, very hard. But yeah,
you're doing this book for yourself, isn't it? Is it been therapeutic in a way to get stuff down on paper? Do you find that helps?
Some of it has, and some of it has been really hard. The main thing I've learned is that I have amazing fans, and they're so supportive of what I want to do. So the Kickstarter, it's already funded.
Yes, so. It didn't take long, did it?
I think it was like 4 days.
It takes longer to open a bag of crisps.
It got funded in 4 days, which was amazing. And
we're getting sweets live on air.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Best interview ever.
I know, right? got funded in 4 days, and we've hit both the stretch goals already. So the book's definitely going to get printed.
Yeah.
So the Kickstarter right now is essentially a way of just pre-ordering the book.
Because it's already done and dusted, isn't it? I mean, is it all complete?
I've got a few pages to do. But yeah.
People are picking on me in the background, mid-interview. This is what I get. So the book's all done, and when will it be delivered?
I'm hoping sort of mid to late November. I've said on the Kickstarter that it'll be November.
Yeah.
So I really wanted the book out in time for Christmas. So,
That's a Christmas present that everyone should get. So obviously there's how many days left on it? Is it a couple of weeks left?
Yeah, a couple of weeks. It's running till the end of October. So.
Cool. So there's still plenty of time to get on it, which you should. Now, where can they find it on Kickstarter?
So you can go on straight to kickstarter.com and search for Wired Up Wrong. It'll come up. Or you can go to rachelsmith.org/Kickstarter.
Sounds like you've been practicing that.
a little bit.
Well, still at Nottingham, and a surprise guest. Would you like to introduce yourself and tell us about your comic?
Hi, my name's Pete. I'm the PXD on Facebook, etc., and Twitter. The Axeman Cometh finally made it across the seas, and I popped along to see the guys at the Awesome Comics podcast just to give them a copy and demand that they review it right this second.
Tell us a little bit of what it's about, Pete.
It's a crime noir horror story set in the 30s. That's basically it, really. It's a crime noir horror story set in the 30s.
So you've drawn it, and Daryl's written it.
Daryl wrote it. The art is all mine. Then obviously Rob's done the lettering, and Sard is the colorist of the book.
So is Daryl a UK based guy? I don't think I've met Daryl.
No. Daryl's based in the US. Daryl is some backwater place in the US. You know, where they probably love guns, that sort of thing.
My favourite kind of place. Yeah. We love Americans. So how did you get together with him?
It was just off Twitter. Just speaking on Twitter, and I forget who introduced us, but somebody just said, "Do you fancy drawing a comic? Somebody's got an idea." And that was basically it. Yeah.
So are you doing any more with him, or?
There will be a follow-up, I believe, next year. At the moment, I'm sort of doing a few things for Matt Garvey and a few.
You're doing something with Matt, are you? Yeah.
I'm doing something with Matt, yeah. It's taken a long, long, long time, but I'm doing something with Matt. And the charity one that you and Susie.
Oh, Little Heroes, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be doing a story in that as well, so hopefully people might start to see something.
It's good to finally meet you, Mr. PXD, because I know we always talk on Twitter, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you've also done a pin-up for Susie's comic, have you? Or?
I've done two. I've actually got the originals here. I was going to give to Susie, to be honest with you, but I've done two in Susie's book, yeah. Great cause, so why not?
And what else have you got coming out, and where else can we find you?
At the moment, that's pretty much it. I work slowly, just like most UK-based artists, I suppose, yeah. Most of my stuff at the moment, it's been... I've got an old five-pager that's coming out soon called Stranglehood.
Who's that with?
That's with a friend of mine, Lee Overton. He's not really amongst the UK scene, to be honest with you. Just an old friend of mine. We did a story together. I've recently finished the cover for that, so I'm hoping to table a couple of places next year, just get that out printed as a cheap little thing for people to have a little flick through.
Are you from up this way, are you? Or?
Telford way, okay. where the great MCM Midlands is.
MCM Telford.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, great.
Hey, where were you thinking about tabling? Because there's a few round that way, aren't there? Leamington, maybe?
I think I've spoken to True Believers. I haven't set anything in stone yet. And hopefully Oldham will be one I'll be doing. After that, I'd like to do Nottingham. I was hoping to do this year, but obviously the slow boat from China took far longer than it needed to. But I haven't set anything in stone just yet. Just yet.
Brilliant. That's great news, mate. And so are you available for work? Would you be looking for work? Or have you got enough with Mr. G over there?
I will be available for work pretty soon, but I've got a few things to finish first. I'm one of those guys who tends to take four or five projects on and then realise that I've snowed under. So
that was said with a grin. Yeah. Where can people find you, Pete, online? Where can we buy your stuff?
If it's the PXD on Twitter, Facebook, there is the PXD page. You probably sift through plenty of other PXD because it's a guitar as well, which I didn't realise when I chose the name. Pete Davis, I'm on most groups, so you'd be able to find me there.
Thanks, man. Brilliant stuff. Thanks for the book.
Thanks, David. Cheers.
Okay, I'm here with Gareth Sly at home. Now, you've just finished a book called The Cthuliad, is that right, Gareth? Which, was it released at Thought Bubble, or was it just a new release? What?
It was debuting there, yeah. I mean, it was the new one. It was Summer of Beasts, which is kind of like the third of the main story arc of the Cthuliad book, so yeah, that launched there.
What's that about? Do you want to explain?
It's a sort of, I suppose, Cthulhu mythos inspired book about people who are hunting monsters, but the monsters are hunting them back. And it kind of delves, it kind of like flips backwards and forwards in history, so it goes back like thousands of years into kind of mythological history, and then rolls forward again to the here and now, when things are all coming to a head, really. And it's, I suppose it's not really linear in its narrative form, it sort of like jumps, like I said, just jumps backwards and forwards in time, and I'm hoping that the readers can kind of keep up with where I'm going with it. So,
or not bother if they do, or otherwise. I think that you and I are of an age where we don't really care anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I've watched a lot of French movies and that over the years, and sort of like a lot of European films, and I think that's probably part of the influence. You know, so like Tom Waits albums, sort of like playing while you're drawing on that, and so all of that kind of feeds into it. That kind of.
We talked a bit about you listening to stuff, because I know you've listened to the podcast. Yeah. But do you listen to music when you create a comic, almost? You know.
Yeah, I mean, a mixture of sort of like podcasts. Sometimes I'll be listening to sort of like audiobooks and stuff like that. There's a lot of really good free audiobooks of like 1920s like horror stories and stuff online, and so sometimes I'll have those running in the background. But yeah, a lot of music and everything, like I said, Tom Waits or sort of like, you know, Mark Lanegan and that kind of stuff.
Big fan of both those. Very good. Yeah, very impressed. Yeah, so
what's your idea? You're just going to keep putting out small press? Because I know you had a great day at Thought Bubble, didn't you?
Yeah, it was nice. It was good, yeah. I mean, it's always fun. It's really nice to meet sort of like all the people sort of like coming up to the table and just chatting about comics in general. I get a lot of people coming up because of the sketchbooks and stuff like that, because I always put sketchbooks out on the table. And I get a lot of students coming up, weirdly, which is because I'm an art tutor and everything. I don't think they know I'm an art tutor, but they come up anyway. It's just like an odd thing. But I really just enjoy the day. I really look forward to it every year. But yeah, I'm going to keep putting the books out. I'm looking at digital at the moment. I'm trying to figure out my way around getting the books out digitally to maybe broaden the audience a little bit. But I'll definitely always do the tables, I think. I really like the idea of the small press and the kind of physicality of all of that. So
you said you like the interaction of it.
Yeah.
Do you find the art books... Not everyone does art books, do they? Or sketchbooks or that sort of thing. Is that something you like... Does it help the sale of the actual comic as well? Or?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's maybe just there for the people that are looking for something slightly different as well. Because, I mean, although it's a comic con, and we've talked about sort of like, you know, in the past, sort of like, you know, what comic cons are and what they should contain and that. I suppose there's two sides to who I am. I'm actually a person who's creating a lot of art, because I got into comics because of the art side, because that's what I am first. I started to write my own stuff, and... I guess it's just two sides of my personality that are available there on the table, I suppose.
Interesting, yeah. Well, we were talking about, before we started recording, about you're basically putting yourself out there on a table for people to accept you or not accept you and buy you or not buy you, I suppose, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean...
What's your own self-worth?
Well, this is the thing. It's kind of odd. I really just like that idea that, you know, it's all you. It's all your mistakes. It's, you know, the good bits of you, the bad bits of you, and... There's no taking away. It's basically like your child on the table. And then people, strangers, especially when strangers come up and just say, yeah, I'm going to part with some of my hard-earned cash and I'm going to take that away. I think there's a real kind of weird kind of connection.
Yeah, there is, isn't there?
Yeah.
And a compliment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And because they're taking a risk, I suppose, sometimes, because they flick through it maybe, but they haven't read it and you don't know. I mean, it was really nice. I mean, I'm always sort of... trying to bully people when they've bought the book. I'm going, if you like it, please just say something nice about it on social media or on Twitter, because you can't tell how much that helps. And then this year there was some real nice feedback on sort of like on Twitter and stuff like that. And you, like I say, you can't pay for that. It's just really valuable when they do that.
Yeah, it's a nice little boon to your self-confidence and spurs you on to make more stuff, doesn't it, I suppose?
Exactly, yeah.
So what's next, dude? What have you got next?
Because there's two other books in the Cthulhuid series that are kind of like stand out there on their own, and it's kind of like a retelling of the myth of St. George, because there's a couple of the older guys in the books that are part of an organisation, and they look back to this St. George character that they know as being the father of their monster hunting activities, sort of thing. They're kind of like the patron saint of it.
Yeah, I suppose that's exactly what he is, isn't he?
Yeah, the
patron saint of monster hunters. Yeah.
And so basically, the first two books look at his early history and sort of like kind of like really kind of going it for the what we know about the history of that character, or what, you know, where the mythology came from. The second book's basically just him arriving in Africa to try and find this monster, which turns out to be this creature that's been raised out of this lake in the middle of this temple by these people that have kind of grown it, and they've fastened this big mask on its face and everything. It's all a bit strange, don't you know, let's not go there. And then the last book is basically just going to be a huge fight between the lead St. George character and this creature, and then the kind of tailing off of the story and the people who are telling the story wrapping that up. So that's probably the next one. And then I've got another plan for the modern Cthulhu, the kind of updated Cthulhuid books, a follow-on for Summer of Peace, which will be more, I suppose, quite a talky book, because a lot of it's going to be set in a prison again with this kind of like conversation between two people. So.
Big plans.
Yeah. Well, it's going on. I mean, I've got a lot of the stuff already written. It's like I've got a lot of stuff in prose form, and I take that as a loose kind of like script. And then when I start to draw it, things change, and then I kind of go in for a last pass with dialogue and everything, and then it becomes something that I don't even recognise myself usually.
Yeah,
so it's a lot of it's quite free form, I suppose, in that regard. But
so where can people find you, Gareth? Where can we buy your books and find you online?
Well, we can't buy the digital stuff yet, but the likelihood is the first place you'll be able to find that is on Comic House, so because I'm actually looking at putting myself up on there at the moment. But you could find me at the Hull Horror Con, which is next weekend. So if anybody's there, I'll have a little stall there. I'll probably be at Thought Bubble again next year if they'll have me back, which will be great. I'm looking to do maybe sort of Glasgow next year or some of the smaller ones. So.
I'm thinking about Glasgow, Edinburgh.
Yeah,
so they're getting a lot of good word of mouth, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, I've done some work with sort of like Alistair Wood and sort of like, you know, the guys from Madius and that. And So, you know, they've talked about it a lot, and we wanted to maybe sort of like meet up there and sort of like do something up there, which would be great. But, you know, if people follow me on Twitter, which is at Hesia, H-I-A-H-E-S-I-R, they can find loads of sketches and stuff like that on there.
So. And I certainly follow you. It's very good, yeah. Thanks, man.
No worries. Cheers. Thank you. In my hand,
Oh, I love it when I start recording early. Right, what would a convention interview be without double teaming Emily Owen and Gavin Mitchell? How has your day at Nottingham been?
Really, really good, actually. Nottingham's always great. It's a really friendly, open-spaced convention, but it's actually been a really good day financially as well as for fun and games.
Has the Shoodles done well?
Really well. Yeah? It has exceeded my expectations today, so that's always good. Yeah. What about for you?
This is fast becoming one of my favourite cons.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I really enjoy it.
You're not both sponsored by Nottingham
Comic
Con,
are
you?
No, not at all.
Although we did contribute to the anthology.
Oh, yeah, which was crappy.
Which is available for £5 and it goes to charity. Oh, so, yeah. And it is a great story, if I do say so myself. We've both read it today and we laughed at our own story. So
it's a bit sad.
That's the main thing.
But it's all right.
So what's done well for you then, Gav?
Mainly the Troll 2 Tours. That's it's been all right, yeah.
That's going well, isn't it?
I think so. I hope so.
You are there whenever it's being sold, so
for the most part. Yeah. I'm sometimes away from my table.
Gav likes to go for a quick break, which turns into not seeing him for...
So they're going to the toilet?
Well, wherever, really. Yeah.
I've just come back and I'm a bit sweaty because I ran. It's warming Nottingham at the moment.
It's a very warm day. I think it's just all the excitement.
I think it's the heat. That you're causing, Vince.
It's true. I did set off a fire alarm.
That's because you're smoking hot.
Hey! This is the only reason I came over here. Yeah. So, what shows have you got coming up next? Is this the last one? For a lot of people.
It's the last of the year for us. Yeah. Next one's Cheltenham in February. So
hey!
Yeah, we'll be at Cheltenham. True Believers in February. Yeah. Definitely there.
Yeah. So... And I'm sure the Shoodles will do well. Is it online? Can you get it online?
You can buy it online at my Big Cartel.
Which is?
emilybowen.bigcartel.com. It's almost like I've memorised these things. you can get it there, or you can shout at me on Twitter and I can point you in the right direction.
Twitter's full of shouting at the moment.
I'm a little bit angry at the moment.
At the moment?
All right.
More than usual.
All right. Happy thoughts. where can they find the Troll Tooth?
Under bridges. No. It's at thetrolltoothwars.bigcartel.com.
Marvellous.
That's where I sell it and stuff. And at conventions.
Yeah.
When I'm there.
Oh, and it's worth seeing him, let me tell you.
Well, it is, or you can just...
I've never interviewed a husband and wife combo before.
Have you not?
No.
Have you not done the wild gooses?
The wild geese?
The wild geese.
No. I haven't.
You should try
not since they've been... Did you hear that, yeah. Laura and Christian? I'm coming for you.
We're coming for you.
Thank you.
Right, still at Nottingham. Don't look so worried. I'm with Kate. And you popped by the table earlier to talk about Comics Youth, didn't you? Which is a not-for-profit organisation.
Yes.
Do you just wanted to just explain a little bit about what it's about?
Well, it's an organisation set up to provide literacy and resources for young people who are interested in comics and who also are... I didn't organise... Like, it's not my organisation. I'm a youth worker who works there, so it's quite hard for me to explain. But basically, we provide resources for young people. At the moment, we're trying to compile a self-care zine. Because in the area that I'm from, Liverpool, there are not a lot of mental health resources for young people out there. So we'd like to provide a resource for people, basically, like a free resource for young people to.
So when you say resource, is it like a drop-in centre or something like that? Is it?
Yes,
or
we're in a youth centre currently. So we run sessions, which are currently funded by National Lottery and Children in Need.
Okay.
So we run sessions in several places around Liverpool. When we say resources, we'd like to sell some of these zines, like to build money for our non-profit, as well as provide them to young people to read for free.
Okay.
So the idea is donate comics, is that it? And then also for the kids to read, but you will sell some of them on to make some money as well, is that right?
Yes, basically. We're trying to do a lot of stuff at once, basically. But like the whole idea of the zine is for young people to read for free, for the centre to sell, to make profit for the non-profit, and also to provide an outlet for artists and sort of like a way to share work. And
interesting.
Yeah.
So would the kids be drawing stuff as well, would they? Is that the plan?
Yes. We have already spoken to several young people about like contributing and compiling the zine. They already create stuff anyway. Like our sessions like focus on making comics with kids as well as talking about comics, teaching literacy and creativity.
Cool. Are you a comics reader yourself or...?
I'm a huge comics reader.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. Now we're talking. Yeah, what sort of thing do you like?
Well, I've already started my own self-publishing company called Free Song Comics. We're downstairs. Okay. We have a table with our own comic downstairs at the moment, actually. Right. Yeah, we do horror comics, which are not necessarily great for kids, but I have like an interest in general, you know, well-being, feminism, political action. So,
I'm
not explaining myself very well, sorry.
No, it's brilliant. No, it's interesting. So where can people find your comics online?
Freesongcomics.com. Yes, at Free Song Comics.
And if people want to donate books to the charity, where would they go?
If they went to our Facebook page, which is Comics Youth, and also our website, comicsyouth.co.uk. As for the zine, we're looking for submissions of comics, illustrations, stories, articles, anything that's to do with self-care. And yeah.
So somebody, if they were a small press guy, could write a story, draw a story. Around what subject, though? What are you really looking for as a subject?
Well, we just really want people to kind of share like how they look after themselves, what they do, like when they themselves are feeling depressed or have like a crisis with their own mental health, and how they would like what they would suggest to younger people who need advice and guidance. So, like, even if it's just an allegorical story, or if it's just an article on like what you do yourself, that'd be fine.
Okay, so it could be an autobiographical thing,
yes.
But something with a positive result to it, perhaps.
Yes. If possible, like positive, really. But yeah, so if you had an idea about what you'd like to do, like an illustration which showed like what you'd like, or poetry that has helped you, explaining how you've looked after yourself in the past, or like even a recipe, you know, like what you cook for yourself if you're having a bad day, could be really useful for people.
Okay, stuff, isn't it? Really, yeah. When you think of it. So it's just like having the confidence to run your life in a sort of everyday way is what they're missing out on.
Yes, that's something that like a lot of younger people like aren't given any advice on generally. Like when you go to a doctor's or if you go to a psychiatrist, sometimes you just like give them medication and not given any advice what to do in your everyday life. Yeah. But like most people have suffered mental health at some point, so.
Yeah, it's really great. Thanks, mate. Thanks, Kate. I'm here with Samuel Webster. Sam, you're looking good in the beard, actually. You got a beard going on now, have you? It's looking good on you. Yeah. Yeah, you just copied me, aren't you? Now, you've got a new book out. Did you want to Unfamiliar Skies number 2?
Yes, Unfamiliar Skies issue 2, continuing right on from where issue 1 left off. So Claris has got some information on her dad's whereabouts. She's also angered a lot of people to get there. So we get to see all of that unfold, the repercussions. She's going to start seeing some consequences from her impulsive actions.
Like that. Is that something based on your life experiences?
Getting into trouble without intending to, yes. Yeah.
So is this intended to be like a very long-running series? Is that your intention? No, cause I only say that because I know you're a big fan of manga, and manga has the habit of running on for a long time, doesn't it? Have you got a long eye on it?
Let's see. It's not going to be 80 volumes like One Piece.
Right, okay.
Definitely not.
That was a bad name for One Piece, wasn't it? For anyone it ran on for so long.
Well, it's still going.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's not past tense, that's present.
Oh, right,
still,
okay.
Yeah. But this is going to be... There's a 5-issue arc planned with a scope to go longer if it's, you know, going all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're thinking about trading it after 5, or...?
Yeah, absolutely thinking about a trade paperback for 1-5, and then it can go in sort of like arcs... You know, sort of arc 1 here, arc 2 there, for a cohesive whole.
So sort of a Mignolaverse kind of idea? You know, the way they have stuck stories, although it's part of a bigger thing?
So give me one second.
Okay.
go. We just had to interrupt that because you're Mr. Business, aren't you? You doubled your sales there, didn't you, in one go? You've just told me that. You've been embarrassed now by me saying that, aren't you?
So we were talking. It's only embarrassing because the figure that it doubled from wasn't very high.
You pounced on them, didn't you? You pounced. You got to be ready to sell, haven't you?
I let them come to me. I think that was fair. Yeah.
You didn't push anything, I have to say. Nah. So we were just talking about what's next for Mr. Webster. What have you got? So are you going to run something along the same lines as Unfamiliar Skies? Are you going to do two issues, or are you going to do an anthology, or do you rather do your own stuff, or would you work on a collaboration?
I would work on a collaboration. The problem I've had so far is that, like, the one guy that I really want to work with is
Vince Hunt.
No. Sorry, Vince. Although, if he asked me, I don't know how to think about it. No, it's my best friend Richie. I reckon he could really write if he put his mind to it.
Right.
But he is such an apathetic asshole.
Oh, okay.
Like, getting him off his butt to do anything is impossible. Well, he's meant to be the best man for my wedding next year. I don't trust him to remember the rings. I don't trust him to write the speech. You know, he's going to... I'll probably get a phone call from him as I'm at the altar going, "Oh, shit, mate, was that today?"
But you reckon he'd make a good writer or an artist?
Writer.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of trust in a collaboration, and, like, the ones that work, like, you know, Nick Angel, John Locke, they're best mates pretty much anyway. And I don't have that sort of relationship with many people.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a difficult thing to do if you're friends as well, I think, sometimes. Because there's always that chance you'll fall out, I think, isn't there, you know?
If he was going to fall out with me, it would have been a long time.
So are you working on the anthologies? Are you doing anything else? Or?
Yeah, I've got an Unfamiliar Skies short coming up in the True Believers anthology, Tales Beyond Infinity. There is obviously issue 3 of Unfamiliar Skies in the works.
Yeah.
There is... Oh, yes. The Sweary Ranty Venti Autobio. Yes.
Yeah, I've seen this. You've shared it with me. I'm one of the lucky ones you've shared it with. I don't know why you shared that with me, but yeah, you did. Yeah, I'm not... do you think I'm the good person to speak to about shouting at people on a bus? Are you banned from that bus now?
No. Although I did go on Facebook, and I got to a point where I had enough, and I went on the local Facebook group, and I was like, right, I've spoken to the bus company, and they don't want to know. I've spoken to the schools and the colleges, and they don't want to know. So the parents are on this group. Sort your fucking kids out.
And so you decided to make a comic about it. That's like the best thing ever. That's like an angry letter to the owner of Virgin Media or something, isn't it? Just do a comic instead. I think people could adopt that idea, couldn't they? Might pay attention to something, won't they? So, Sam, where can people find your stuff? Where can we find you online?
It is facebook.com/SJWebsterArt. And Twitter is @SJWebsterArt.
Cool. Nice one. Thank you, mate.
Yes, sir.
So, Nottingham Comic Con is in the bag.
I know, it's
gone
so quickly.
You can probably hear people packing up as we speak.
Yeah. It's not even closed yet. Oh, it has, look, 1 minute after.
1 minute after.
Fucking hell.
Jesus. Where has the day gone?
I know. I don't know. I feel like I haven't seen you. I feel a bit emotional.
Yeah. To be fair, you've been doing panels.
I did too. They were good. And we had a fire alarm.
You did lots. Oh, yes. The fire alarm story.
This will be remembered as the Nottingham Comic Con where there was a fire alarm and we all stood outside taking a piss.
Yeah.
And some weird people played drums while we were out there.
Yeah.
That was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very weird. And doing capoeira or capi.
Is that what it was?
Whatever it is, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'll join in for a bit.
They were doing it very badly. It was only good when you started doing it.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. I did a moonwalk into it. Yeah.
That's good. It was the somersault I appreciate.
Forward roll.
It's been a good day, though. I think it's been bustling. It's been...
Look.
Tony's got...
Nice. Mr. D.
Sean Doby just interrupted us then to show us a lovely bit of art by Chris Imber.
Yeah. Very good. Harris walking past. Hey, Sarah,
Our days are constantly broken up.
Give me a badge. Shut up and bring me tea. Oh, hey! Where did you get that wrong? I didn't say shut up. What are you doing?
But Sarah did bring us tea, so thank you very much, Sarah, for that.
Thank you, Sarah.
And thank you to everyone that spoke to us today. Tony, you got loads of interviews today.
We did get a few, didn't we?
We got a few. Yeah.
Some bit
and others. Completely. I once again must apologise to Rachel Smith for getting her name wrong.
And someone held rude signs up behind you.
Everyone, it seemed... Why was I the one that everyone was trying to put off when I was interviewing people?
At one point there was about 10
no,
people.
No one did anything when you were interviewing people. It's not fair. I can't even come to a, like a public...
Dan will sort it out.
Yeah. Dan, you were missed. Literally, lots of people just kept asking us where Dan Butcher was.
Yeah. I told them that you were in my basement covered in spunk.
Yep. So, Dan, if you want to talk about it, you can email us, awesomecomicspod@gmail.com.
Vanguard.
No, no.
This is for the worm joke.
No, it's been a good day. To everyone at Nottingham, thank you very much for putting on a great show. And, yeah, do you want to, any last words, Tony?
Whatevs.
Can't say fairer than that, can you?
Was that the longest bunch of interviews we've ever done? I don't know. It was quite a lot. I was quite surprised, actually. Yeah. It's you kind of lose track on how many bits of audio that you get during the day, though, don't you?
Because we're both running about doing it as well.
Yeah.
You know, and when you've got that extra chair, it's quite nice to sit behind the table and chat to people. I know I did one with Gareth.
Yeah,
Gareth Slightham and the one with Brick, they just sort of sat down and it was more sort of conversational because of that, you know.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of kind of like doing the old standing behind someone else's table, sticking the mic in their face.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah,
it can get a bit awkward.
Yeah.
And I just like to say there were loads of other people there, and I certainly didn't get round everyone. I wish I had, but literally with running the panels, trying to do the interviews, and running the table, I didn't even buy any back issues.
Yeah. The moments when I walked away from the table and I took the microphone with me, I kept thinking, oh, I could talk to this person, and they were always really busy. Yeah.
That's good, though.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic for them. So,
I find it so different doing the con from being behind a table to kind of a punter.
Yeah.
Not that I don't enjoy it, but there's like two different aspects to the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like...
Alan Henderson was only down, he was literally yards from me. I've been dying to speak to Alan about The Shadow for ages. And I really like Alan. And I spoke to him for about a minute. You know, like Jen Brown, who, you know, we're looking to do another project together, me and her, and I wanted to talk to her about it. I just didn't get time, you know.
Yeah.
Stuart Moraine come around. We had a little bit of a chat with Stuart about the True Believers, didn't we? But not enough.
It's literally only a day, though, isn't it? So it's going to go.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. 10 to 5.
It's almost like one day we just need to organise just a mass... social,
yeah.
Without any tables, without any convention, just lots of people getting together and just talking.
I have got a pile of comics to read in front of me though, which all look to a man brilliant.
Yeah,
the Mighty Blaws, Midnight Man. I got the old Axe from which is an anthology, which Rachel Ball's in. The Shattered. I bought a copy of that. The Axeman Cometh. Yeah, there's some great stuff here.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's quality stuff, and of course there will be links in the show notes for everything that you heard, etc. And we'll probably put a shout out. We'll gather together some sort of list of all the people that we remembered that we saw on the day, because it's far too long. Yeah. But,
and I had the best curry out with the boy, like John Lake, Chris Imber, Chris Jenkins, the Gibster, Jay Martin, and Sidesy. The funniest meal, just like fucking out. It made me laugh so much. But Kevin Kell killed it this year.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, I know. It's 40.
He's 40. Yeah. Is it next week? I think he's 40, isn't he?
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Kev.
Yes. Happy birthday.
He's 42 today, is it?
Today, isn't it?
You just wanted to stick the knife in, didn't you, Dan? You just wanted to stick that knife in.
And we all. So the first panel I did, which was me, Lady, who else was on it? Matt and Chris Imber. 3 out of 4 of us swore accidentally. Guess the one who didn't. Garvey. Where? What's happened there?
The thing is, if you scratch
Garvey
away,
is a pro.
Yeah, you scratch. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say that. Well, unless you're talking about prostitute. If you scratch away at the surface of that man, he's a very nice human being and a very professional person. So just ignore the rest of it.
He was good company, actually.
Yeah,
he was good today. Yeah, he had a blast.
So thank you very much. Probably see you next year.
Yeah, definitely. And I think if you're thinking about doing a convention, that is a good, and a lot of footfall as well. A lot of people there, weren't there? More than previous years. I know they sold more on the more prior to the event than they ever have before.
Yeah.
And it seemed to be busy the whole time.
It was a shame about the fire alarm.
But
that added a bit of excitement to just to see those strange bongo banging capoeira people outside.
I see what's weird, like people were making comment on the fact that with London Super Comic Con, if they're exhibiting early in the year, they're making their announcements about stuff now, and they're not. So a lot of people are just presuming that it's going to be exactly the same time next year, which is kind of, it doesn't really fill me with kind of like, hooray, great, that was so good. So may have to consider that. I'd love to be seeing all the creators and everyone. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But,
I'm not sure London down will happen it again. There. I don't know whether London will happen again.
Yeah, Dan, you did put a bit of a downer, didn't you?
Sorry about that.
Unbelievable. That's only because you're sad because you weren't there. And I tell you what, mate, that was the question that we got asked the most was, where's Dan?
Yeah.
Every time.
I made up an elaborate sexual story about where you were.
It's probably true.
Do you want to hear it, Dan?
My son and his... son and his birthday party to see the new Ninjago film.
Ah, right.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Well, that's completely different to what Tony told people.
Oh.
You'll hear it on the audio.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to. And you can either confirm or deny next week whether it was actually true.
It was true, yeah.
Yeah. So, do we have any shout-outs, gents?
I do. Myself and Dave Brown have just done a Silver Surfer story, just a little bit of fun, not selling it or anything, just a bit of a fun 20-page story. If you are signed up to the Cockney Kung Fu, tinymailer.com/CockneyKungFu mail, if you look on my Twitter feed, you'll find it. Then I will be releasing it on there. It's coming out. It's on the Facebook group as well, if you want to have a look at it there. Just a bit of fun. Me and Dave we had a bit of a phone conference today, me and Dave, and we've got our next project lined up, which I'm very excited about, which he's starting drawing in the new year. So he's a good lad, Dave, and he managed to draw a 20-page comic in 7 days. You gotta love him, haven't you?
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? That's great.
And
the 11th of November is at Wimbledon Library. There's a comics event there, which me, Dave, Dan, and a few other people. I think Matt Garvey's doing it as well, actually.
Yeah, Matt Cleaver will be there as well.
Cool. Yeah,
there'll be quite a few people.
Yeah, come down to Wimbledon Library on the 11th. It's going to be a laugh, and it's kind of our last event of the year. So I'm looking forward to just blaring it up. So it should be fun. I think there's a few talks going on, like workshops and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very aimed at being kid friendly.
Yeah,
with kind of some activities going on. So yeah, so bring the little ones down.
Yeah.
Fun. It's going to be a great day, I think. And you're going to get some audio, aren't you, gents?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Hope to, yeah.
Yeah.
Good. now it's been a busy weekend, but I know, Tony, you've got a recommendation for this weekend.
Oh, I have, yeah. I've got a good one.
Go on.
Yeah. Shall I go?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
I know we weren't going to do recommendations this week. It wasn't really in our plan, was it? But no. I had one that I was talking to you about yesterday, wasn't I? Fujitsu, which I might talk about another week, Vince. Yeah. But on the way to Nottingham, I read Punisher the Platoon. Listen, I know we're a small press podcast, but if you want to read a good comic, work out a good comic, this is it. Yeah. It's a
and also, if you've listened to this show long enough, you know that every single one of us is a huge Punisher fan.
Yeah. And I know you got the TV series coming up, and this is I'm going to say it's kind of an origin story, but origin stories kind of leave me cold sometimes.
Yeah,
I'm like, I don't even want to know what's happened in the past. I want to know what's happening now.
Yeah.
But it's not the origin of the Punisher. It's the origin of Frank learning how to use guns, how to lead men, how to be, you know, tactics and how to plan an attack and all this sort of thing. It's written by Garth Ennis, who I don't think Garth has written a bad comic, in my opinion. I love his stuff. I think he should be venerated in the same way that Warren Ellis and Alan Moore and Grant Morrison, these people are, because he is to a comic, just brilliant stuff.
Yeah,
I was a bit of dialogue than the whole of them put together.
Issue of Jimmy's Bastards.
Oh, so good.
Have you read? Have you been reading that series?
I've looked. Do you know what? I've read the first issue because Russ Braun. I bought all signed copies from Russ Braun. Yeah. So yeah,
oh, nice. The latest one, which I picked up on Comicsology this week, is crazy. We're talking like the Boys kind of craziness.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it is those two creators just basically just not giving a fuck and just going for it. And some of it is a little bit too over the top for me, like to the point of like it's almost ridiculous. But then some of Garth's dialogue.
I'll talk about that in a minute with this comic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he can be beaten. He's got that. It's very conversational, his dialogue, but it's also got that sort of film noir, classic war movie. You know, it's got that coolness about it as well, I think, you know?
Yeah.
So written by Garth, art by Goran Parlov. I mean, Goran Parlov, best artist in the last 10 years. I'm going to put that out there. Absolutely love his stuff. Yeah. Colours, Jordy Blair, who, you know, is. I'll talk about that in a minute. She kills it on this.
Yeah.
But it opens in a bar with a group of old soldiers who are gathered in like a hotel bar. You imagine it somewhere like a hotel in Vegas, something like that. And they're meeting with a writer called Michael Goodwin, who had previously written a book called Valley Forge, Valley Forge, which if anyone's a reader of the Max series knows that he appeared previously in the Max story, also by the same creators. Punisher Max 60, if anyone wants to go back and look it up. The soldiers are from the 4th, get this, the 4th Platoon, Kilo Company, 3rd Battalion of the 26th Marine Regiment. I know it's a mouthful, but it's also Frank Castle's 1st Command. So they're old now, and they're sitting there, and they're discussing, this writer's trying to get them to tell their story so that he can make a book about it, because he's written this previous book. And they eventually, after a really cool little conversation, decide, okay, we're going to do it, and they start talking through stuff with this writer, and the between them they could start recounting what story, well, how Frank sort of started. So it starts with a flashback. It then goes to a flashback with Frank walking down a hill, a grassy hill in Vietnam, away from like a Huey that's sitting there with this another soldier, like he's been dropped in the front lines. And this is more like, you know, when you see Vietnam in movies or in TV series, it tends to be in the jungle, very sort of close shot, in tunnels or stuff like this. We got to realize that a lot of Vietnam War was fought on actual battlefields, you know, like big battlefields and on hills and fields and stuff. And it opens on that. So it does open on like a big view down into a valley. And I think that jungle thing sometimes is a little bit of a go-to cliche for this sort of thing. And he walks into his command, and the Marines are all sort of jaded and battle weary. But he looks, as he walks in, I love the way Goran draws him, because he walks in, he's like a brick shithouse, this bloke.
Yeah.
You know, Frank Castle is like this huge shouldered guy, you know, could easily be on an American football field, that sort of kind of character. One of the soldiers actually said, they're sort of talking about him as he walks down. He says, oh, he's so damn big. Hell, if anything happens, I can just hide behind him. Yeah. So they go on this mission, stroke patrol sort of thing, and they go behind enemy lines, and something happens and that leads into something else, and that's the tease for the next issue sort of thing. Because Dave Brown and I have started doing, we've got this first issue, we're sort of talking about this series we're doing. I've been reading a lot of first issues recently, and Marvel does this so well, and I think Ennis does it the best, where they set up tease. There's almost like four setups and teases in an issue, and you get that. You get the soldiers dying, you get the Viet Cong behind, you know, behind the scenes, what they're planning, you get the problems with the soldiers, you get the problems with the military, and you get this setup about the book that's being written as the bookend to each issue, you know? It's just absolutely fucking glorious. He's got such a sweet capture of character between them. I think you've got to remember that dialogue is written by a writer, but the conversation happens on the page, so the dialogue is only carried as well as the reactions in the faces of the characters that you draw. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So he makes it very personal. These sort of old, weary soldiers in this bar, their faces tell as much a story as the words they're saying. It's so well drawn. Parlov keeps the panels really, really large. There's something else I've been paying attention to recently as well, especially with Marvel books, is there's four, at most five panels on a page. But what Parlov does, he stacks them. So you've got four that go across the page, if that makes sense.
Right.
So like they're like in a tower of four, as if it's a widescreen war movie.
Yeah, that makes sense. He's done that with a lot of his Punisher stuff. He does a lot. It's very cinematic, isn't it?
Really is. Yeah, and Jordi Belled, I mean, she kills him in colour. There's one, I won't spoil anything, but there is one moment where Frank calls in an airstrike and the soldiers retreat to the tree line and he blows up a town. And the way the heat and the light from the explosion is played out in the glow on the faces of these sort of dirty soldiers standing behind the trees is so well realised. Absolutely beautiful stuff.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Just effortless movement between panels and looks and glances and words. But the thing that I really noticed in this is Frank is younger, obviously, because this happens before a lot of the stuff that we know and love about Frank. And what you get a couple of times in it is you get the blue eyes. So Frank's got black hair, blue eyes. You get these bright blue eyes of his. And it shows, just through that little image of the blue eyes, it shows the innocence of the character. Not innocence, so he's not an innocent guy because he's a soldier. But he's less sort of hardened at this point.
Yeah.
You know, before the death of his family and
yeah,
stuff.
Because he's not the Punisher at that point, is he?
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. And that's just such a clever way of showing it, you know. You got this sort of. I can see Ennis thinking, right, I've got to tell this story where he basically goes and kills a whole village of people and, you know, calls in airstrikes and he's fighting with people and stuff like that. But how do I show that it's still his early days other than the fact he looks a tiny bit younger? Mm. And he does it, he plays it in the eyes of a lot of the characters in this. There's a moment right at the end where one of the old soldiers asks something and his eyes are full open and they're blue and bright. You know, really, really clever callback after callback and little. Yeah, so good. I mean, I'm going to be buying the issues, I'm going to be buying the trades, I'm going to be buying the hardback of this. It's just beautiful, beautiful stuff. Really good.
While you were talking, I just bought issue one on Comixology. God bless
digital. Good man.
God good bless man. Digital comics.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a long read. I mean, no. Because it doesn't, it's not designed to be, you know, but every panel in that is just fucking extraordinary.
But saying that, you know, there's a lot of good dialogue, isn't there, isn't it?
I
guess.
Yeah.
So when the action is quite pacey, but you've still got a lot of character building and stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm looking forward to
it. Oh, there's loads of that. Yeah, good man. Nice one. Yeah. There you go. That's my one. Cool.
Dan, have you got one?
A quick shout out. Yeah, I spoke last week about the comic Folklore.
Oh, yeah.
Which you can read at folklorecomic.com. I read it for you this week. It's absolutely fantastic. It's really good.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of the art style is absolutely amazing. It's really good. It kind of looks very much like kind of painterly. Concept art kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's got like concept art kind of feel, isn't it? Yeah,
for like films and games and the kind of the action and the placing of kind of camera shots is just so well done. Very cinematic and at the same time, the page layouts, especially during the action sequences, are just so well done and thought of and. I look at it and think that's the kind of stuff I should be doing in my stuff because it's just so dynamic and great. And I'll certainly be taking some pointers in the way, to give me the two artists aren't listed on the site, but you have to go through the Twitter feed. But the art is fantastic and the writing is just so solid as well. I can't recommend reading this comic and sort of getting on the train, the hype train at the beginning because it's a good one. So,
nice. Good man.
Yeah, folklorecomic.com.
There you go. I'm just going to recommend everyone that you heard on this show check out this stuff.
Yeah.
I've got plenty of stuff. I've got plenty of stuff to read, including some awesome stuff that was sent through to us actually.
Yeah.
So, I'm looking forward.
We're sinking again a bit, aren't we? At the moment.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad way to sink. I don't mind drowning.
No,
that's quite good.
I think that's the way you're going to go, though, isn't it, Tony?
Yeah, I hope so. Then with a belt around my neck hanging over the back of a door. But yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Can you just have like a big pile of comics in front of you, like pull some kind of wedge at the bottom, and then they'll just come crashing down on you?
Yeah, just pull that cord and you're done.
Yeah.
A little bit of a shout out to Vanda, who wholeheartedly encouraged me. There's this joke I play with people where I point at my groin and go, what about this? And when they look down, I go, what are you looking at my junk for? Like that.
He did that to me yesterday, Dan.
So, awesome.
Vander and I took it to the extreme, along with Chris Wildgoose as well, and we would take photographs of our junk. Go, oh, you seen this picture on my phone? Oh, look at you looking at my junk. It just went on and on.
I'm guessing when you took photos, they were within trouser. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, within trouser. Well, yeah. So mostly. I'd slip one out at one side, but yeah. Yeah. And to the point where we were actually buying action figures in the main hall in order to point the action figures' junk and get people to look at it.
Oh, dear God. You found a use for Funko Pops.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah.
I start doing the circle game at cons.
What's that?
Where you make a circle with your fingers and you've got to get people to look underneath your waist by holding the circle. So you've seen this, and then they look down, oh, you fucking bastard.
Oh.
It's a classic.
Am I the only one without some sort of crazy crotch game?
Yeah, liar.
Well, it's never a game.
Yeah, there's no game in that. You did say before we came on that you didn't have a recommend, so you'd recommend your knob.
Yeah, and, nice. I asked for some screen grabs so I can post it on the site, but yeah. I
asked for any testimonies, but no one was willing to come forward.
No. Well, it was the bail conditions, aren't there, in post? Yeah.
You're a couple of arseholes.
The funniest bit of the weekend was at one point I said, is it true that Dobes' knob is never far from your ear? Because whenever I look round, he was standing behind us, wasn't he?
You said wherever anyone goes, they're only about 2 feet away from Dobes' knob.
Wherever they go, fucking hell. It just wanted to go where it wants to go.
Yeah. He was fucking making me die over the weekend. Yeah. Every time I looked over, he'd say something. It's like killing me. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
That was Descending Outlands, the next issue.
Oh,
that's another thing I didn't get, but I saw yours, and it looks brilliant.
Yeah. There's my recommend. Get Descending Outlands issue 4, because it looks great. And it reads
great. Because I saw some sketches that had been put online, some preliminary stuff, and that was like, fucking hell, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's nice. Cracking stuff. And hopefully I haven't put you off it by the interview I did with Stuart.
Also, when we're going about sales talk and sales pitches, we were kind of lax on the group about allowing sales pitches before.
Oh, yeah.
I can hold my hand up. I let through far too
Me
many.
Too. Yeah.
From tomorrow onwards, on Monday, as you listen to this, it'll be a crackdown again.
Yeah. Listen, folks, some people are obviously quite clever and they say things like... oh, has anyone got any advice on a tier I could say for my currently running Kickstarter? Yeah, yes. Okay. Look, if you're clever, do it. I don't mind that, you know.
Yeah.
But if it's like, buy this, I'm like, these people clearly don't listen to the podcast and don't read any of the other posts on the page.
A con's rolling around a big con, what we do is we'll set up a thread and say, like, if you're selling stuff,
post
it in this, and then we can just keep it. Because otherwise it just floods the board. And when people actually want to talk about genuine topics, they kind of get drowned out just by people doing obligatory sales
posts. We're not fools. We're in a number of groups on there. And you see the same post pop up in all those groups. You do think, okay. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
And I suppose people are waiting for us to talk about the subject of the moment, aren't they? And we've had a discussion about it, and we've decided we're not going to. And all we're going to say is, look, we don't care who you are or where you're from or, you know, what your politics are, I suppose, within reason. But we if you make good comics, we will read and we will help promote your comics. Yeah. That's all we're interested in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're at any comics event this weekend, next weekend or whatever, we just wish you all the best and hope you have an amazing time. Because these are events that are created, hopefully, for your enjoyment.
For the love of comics as well.
Exactly. So there you go. Yeah, we just do it for the love.
Exactly.
If you don't like our love, there's several different ways you can get in touch with us.
Yes, <don't wank>.
To complain about it. You can email us, awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Likewise, any events or anything we may have missed out. Or if you've got any complaints, send them to tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Like us on Twitter or follow us, whatever it is. at the Awesome Pod, where we will be announcing our next guest. Once we've dotted the I's and crossed the T's. Very exciting one next week. And like us on Facebook, facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. And as we were saying just then, the group talk, which is the best place on Facebook. Awesome Comics Talk. A shout out to Barry Nugent of the Geek Syndicate podcast. He gave the group talk and the podcast a shout on their panel that they had at ICE. I know he found it very helpful what all you people said
on his thread.
So that was cool.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening to us, whether it was on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, please leave a review.
Yeah.
These two would do a sexy dance for you.
Well, yeah. Might not make you feel sexy.
Yeah, it's your definition of sexy.
Yeah. Might make you feel a little bit sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they'll do it just for you.
Yeah.
If you leave us a nice review on iTunes. if you listen to us on any of the networks, whatever links, whatever, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, anywhere
Pod
you
thumb.
Found us, wherever you found us. there's bound to be a network called that, isn't there? Thank you very much, and continue spreading the word about the show. I think after Wimbledon, there'll be no more con talk for 2017, will there?
Yeah, but don't forget, you can still buy our amazing jam piece print.
Yes.
So I know we've got the goods now to send them out, haven't we?
Yeah. If you're following us on Twitter, give us a message and we'll sort you out, and we're going to sort out actually putting a shop up online so you can get hold of it.
Yeah. Well, I think we can at the moment. I think we'll do the PayPal thing, will we? For the moment,
yeah, we'll do it
and we'll get out. Yeah. We've got a few large T-shirts left. That's all we got left now. I think we've only got about 5 or 6 of them left now.
Do we sell out of all the mediums?
We might have one medium left, but I need to check. Probably. Yeah,
me and Dan thought
it's lasted through them.
Yeah, yeah. Me and Dan thought we overdid it on the mediums.
Yeah,
they come up quite small actually. The mediums, so. I think a couple of ladies have bought a couple of mediums because they're sort of, slimmer than men, aren't they, generally? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thank you if you bought any of the stuff, by the way. We truly
appreciate
it. You're funding the anthology, which is coming next year.
Yeah. So, we're forever in your debt if you buy something.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But if you wanted to
listen... Not in a legal way.
Obviously.
Well, speak for yourself.
Or financial way.
Wait, that's the problem, Dan. If you don't come to these conventions, you're not aware of when we throw you under the bus. if you want to hear us waffle on a daily basis, where can people find us online, etc.? Tony?
Ezo, yes, EZOHYZ, or neverironanything.blogspot.co.uk.
Always worth a read, always fascinating.
All the New York stuff's on there, actually. There's I did reviews 4 days out of New York. The trip out there, 3 days at the con, which up there with a few thoughts and a lot of original artwork actually, which people were really loving.
Yeah.
I spoke to the guys who were selling the OA, and I said, "Do you mind if I take a picture?" And they said, "No, go ahead, we love it." And they did. So there's a lot of that on there.
Yeah, definitely. Nice. I tweeted that on the Twitter account. Definitely go check it out. It's well worth a read.
Thanks, man.
Cheers. Lots of great pictures.
Yeah.
Cheers. Speaking of great pictures, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com.
Which you should, because it's still, awesome, dude.
Cheers.
Awesome at the moment. You can follow me on Twitter at Jester Diablo and find out more about my comic, The Red Mask from Mars, at theredmaskfrommars.com. I almost make that up. A few people were asking about issue 4, and it's going to be in the new year, and it's already lined up and ready to go. So, just stay tuned. And if you're a new listener, if you picked up a card, and you're checking out the show for the first time, thank you so much.
Yeah.
And so you can get the first issue for free online. That's correct, isn't it?
The origin issue of The Red Mask from Mars
is
available for free. I'm not used to pimping myself out. Don't say a word. I'm not very good at selling myself. Don't say a word.
Give it away.
I'll hug anyone, I don't care. There was a lot of hugging that happened this weekend.
There was, a lot of bro hugging, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Literally, I started packing up the same time as everyone else, and then I was the last person to put everything away because so many people came by for a chat, and they're like, "Oh, good to see you next time," and that sort of thing. Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
And this was also good this week as well. So thank you very much for listening, folks. Have a brilliant week from Dan, Tony, and myself. Read lots of cool comics. stay tuned, stay safe, stay fruity. And as always, I'm going to add a different word every week. See how this can go. As always, stay awesome. See ya.
See ya.